Good morning, friends, and welcome to Crossroads, where faith and culture meet. I'm your host, John Sloop, along with Rita Dunaway. And our senior co-host, Dean Welty, is once again on assignment, and we miss him, don't we, Rita?
We miss him dearly.
We miss him dearly. Well, today we bring you the fourth in a series of programs on education in the Valley. We have considered tax-funded public education, as well as two local private Christian schools, Redeemer Classical in Keezeltown and Blue Ridge Christian in Bridgewater. And today we'll be interviewing Melissa Furman, a homeschooling mom and one of the directors of Harrisonburg Classical Conversations. Welcome, Melissa, and thank you for joining us on Crossroads.
Well, thank you for having me.
Awesome. Rita and Melissa, I don't know if you knew this, but when I grew up on the mission field in Brazil, my sainted mother homeschooled me through the fifth grade before I left home for a Christian boarding school. And until recently, I was not aware that the Calvert School curriculum that my mother used was based on the classical model of education, which we discussed a couple of weeks ago. I just didn't realize that. Only later did I come to realize how blessed I was as a child to have been homeschooled by a mom who loved Jesus and who taught me, Melissa, what I call the four R's, reading, writing, arithmetic, and righteousness. Everything I was taught was undergirded by a biblical worldview, and I took that for granted then, but today I'm so grateful for it. I think my mom and dad claimed the promise of Proverbs 22:6, train up children in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Now, in my research, I've learned that it was in 1972, in a case known as Wisconsin v. Yoder, that the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in favor of an Amish family's right to teach their children at home. So since 1972, it's relatively a new thing. Homeschooling has been legal, so to speak. And today, approximately 3.4% of U.S. students are homeschooled. That's about 2 million students. And homeschooling is very strong in the Valley. So we're glad you're here, Melissa, to share with us about the homeschool movement and classical conversations, which, by the way, two of my grandsons, John and Ben, greatly enjoyed for a period of time.
Well, Melissa, before we actually get into classical conversations, which I'm eager to hear more about, I'd like to know more about your own experience with homeschooling your kids. So at what point did you decide on home education, and why did you choose that route?
Well, so far we've graduated two sons, so this was quite a few years ago, probably 16 years ago, in the late 90s, as our eldest son was getting near kindergarten, and my husband and I had been to Christian schools our whole lives. We knew we weren't going to send our kids to public school because we had had such a fabulous foundation of our spiritual lives that we wanted to continue that. Mm. And at the time, we were living in Winchester and there wasn't a school we could afford. Mm. And as we looked around and saw other families in our church that were homeschooling, we're like, they have great kids. Mm. Like, I want my kids to be like that when they're teenagers. Yeah. Like, really neat. And then we thought about our life because my husband had a job where he worked most weekends. He was off during the week. And we realized that we'd be sending our son off to school and my husband would be off and we'd be having family time and he would be away from us.
Yeah.
And he would never see his father. And that was very important for my husband particularly. He's like, I need to impact my son's lives. We have three sons. So we said, well, we can try kindergarten. And in fact, he's a November birthday. So we started a year early saying, if we mess it up, we, you know, we haven't lost anything. And that year was very hard. We moved twice. We had a new baby. And yet it was a fantastic year. I had so much fun teaching my children, and we just loved it. And then when we moved to down the Shenandoah Valley to Harrisonburg, and we were at a position where we could afford a private school, we loved homeschooling, and it was just our family, and it just fit our lifestyle where we weren't tied down to a school schedule. We did school on Saturdays most of their school years, until they were, you know, had activities on Saturdays.
That suited your family life better.
Mm-hmm.
That is so interesting.
Melissa, Are there any drawbacks? I mean, as you reflect on it, are there some things that you felt like, you and your kids missed by not being in the public school setting? Any downsides to it at all?
Not really. Yeah. It's a lot of work.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Very hard work, absolutely. And I consider it my job. This is what I do. I work very hard to further my education, to study, and I've worked much harder than my children have worked all these years. Mm-hmm. Sports, when they were in high school, yeah. When our eldest son got to eighth grade, and he loved baseball, and he wanted to play football, and my husband at the time had weekends off, and we're like, okay, this could work for our family. What do you want? Mm-hmm. And he thought about it, and he's like, I don't want to sit in the classroom all day and be tied down mm-hmm. and be away from my brothers, my family. And he said, it's not worth it. Mm-hmm. It's not worth it. And he found other ways. He played on the church softball team. He refereed. He umpired for baseball in Bridgewater. And he did other activities that gave him other outlets. He was a leader in the youth group. And it really, the drawbacks don't really count in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Well, you find a way to make up for it, to balance mm-hmm. it. Yeah. From what you know of other homeschooling parents, were your reasons similar to theirs? Or what are some of the other reasons that people choose to homeschool their kids?
Most people that I've met, it's for religious reasons. Uh-huh. It's they want a strong spiritual foundation. They want everything that their kids are learning to have a biblical worldview. Mm-hmm. And my husband and I, that was the main route because we knew it was going to be Christian education. And then homeschooling kind of evolved from our lifestyle, that we wanted a different lifestyle. But almost everybody, they want to be the mentors in their children's lives. Mm-hmm. And there's so many behavioral issues that you can kind of sweep under the rug if you're not with your kids 24/7. And you have to deal with them because you can't get through life and you'll mm-hmm. never learn anything.
Mm-hmm. So you're actually doing the character training throughout the day when you're with your kids, not just the academic training, right? Oh, is that part of it?
Definitely. From having children who couldn't sit still, I'm like, you can control yourself. You really can. And one that just didn't want to be in school, didn't want to do anything. And he would have just slipped through. He would have been the perfect little kid in the back of the room who just slid through and was ignored, basically, because, you know, he might have gotten C's and D's. Mm-hmm. But he could really work harder, and it was a character issue.
Mm. Now, you mentioned how much work it is for you to homeschool, and I'm sure that that is a factor. Well, I hope that it is a factor that parents think about when they consider that option of home education. Do you have a background in education, and how confident did you feel about your abilities and qualifications to give your kids a great education at home?
I have a degree in biology and a minor in chemistry, and I was going to be a high school science teacher until my end of my freshman year. I was taking a summer class, and I visited a public school classroom, and I was scared to death. I'm this 100-pound little lady, and there are these giant boys that are, you know, only a couple years younger. They're like, I can't do this. So I decided to drop the education part after several electives in education. So I had a little bit of background from college, but I never taught in a classroom.
Hmm.
But I always wanted to be a teacher.
Yeah.
But I really like my kids, and sometimes other kids I don't like particularly.
I know exactly how you feel. I can identify with that.
Is there a challenge of being, and I never really asked my own mother this question, but is there a challenge of being both mother and teacher? And is there, how do you you draw that sometimes the distinction, you know?
The kid, my son's worked very hard in saying, Mom, school's over.
Yeah.
But I like to make it a lifestyle because I love to read and I love to learn, and I always have. And the men of my life aren't as big on books as I am.
Yeah. Now, you were blessed to have had, you know, a college education and degrees in biology and what was it?
Chemistry.
And chemistry, which are two subjects that I think I've almost failed. So you had some good skills. Would you say that any parent could be a homeschooler, even if they didn't have, say, college or were never really good in school?
Definitely. I've seen very successful mothers who barely got through high school, but they decided, and it's a dedication to a life of studying, to learning, to advancing your abilities. And I love that about classical conversations because they help to train during the summer and the spring. There are training sessions for parents. There's great training for online webinars and 3 or 4 day practicums where the directors can go and learn how to help parents teach. And it has to be a dedication. I mean, anybody can do it, but if you don't decide that this is the best thing and it's what I'm going to do and the Lord doesn't call you to it, you know, there's some kids that end up, I've seen them and end up in the Christian schools here where they're in high school and they don't have any credits. Their parents have just gone off to work and left them to teach themselves. Yeah. And kids are not going to do that unless you have a very unusual child. I mean, they need constant supervision and they need someone leading, dragging, pushing them through.
Well, as a teacher myself, I often say, you know, I get more out of the lesson than the students do because you have to prepare. And I remember my mom, who was not good in math, you know, she said, I remember many times in basic, you know, elementary math, counting on my fingers, you know, to help you guys. But, you know, she gained those skills. She, in a sense, she was learning as well.
If you stay up with your eldest child
and
you do the math with them, you can do calculus. You really can.
Well, all this brings up an important issue. I know Doc pointed out that the Wisconsin versus Yoder case really established the basic fundamental right for parents to educate their own children. But I also know that each different state has its own set of regulations and statutes that sort of set forth the requirements in that state for what qualifies as home education. So tell us about, in Virginia, what are the legal requirements and obligations for homeschooling families?
There are two different routes that you can go in Virginia. There's the religious exemption, and I'm not exactly sure how that works. I think you have to take a letter before the school board and letters from your pastors. And if you go religious exemption, you do not have to do any testing, and you really never have to have any more contact with the school system.
Okay.
Actually, Homeschool Legal Defense recommends that because they say it's the easiest to defend constitutionally. So that's the one they recommend. We have never gone that route. We have always done the tutor provision where if you have, they changed it a few years ago, now it's a high school diploma, then you just submit a list of the curriculum you're going to use. They don't have any say on your curriculum. You just have to hand it in by August 15th. And then the following August 1st, you have to submit proof of progress, which would just be a standardized test. And I think it's second stay nine, like 23%. It's very low standard that you have to show that your child has progressed. There's also, if you're a licensed teacher in Virginia, then you just have to send in a copy of your certificate and you don't have to test. Testing is very important. It's always been very important for me personally because it makes sure that I know where my kids are. When I get the test back, I say, okay, yeah, he isn't very good in spelling, but he's doing great in math. And it's always confirmed that I know where my kids really are.
That's great.
I was doing some reading last night on this subject and found an article that said that a study shows that homeschooled educated kids scored 30 to 37% points higher than public school students on standardized achievement tests. In reading, 87% higher. In listening, 85%. Language, 80%. Math, across the board in the high 80s. And so homeschooling parents are doing something right. Now, some would say, Melissa, that there should be more accountability required of parents who homeschool beyond what you've just described, and that Virginia is an outlier in having such lack of requirements. You're in the system in Virginia, so what are your thoughts on that? How would you respond to that?
There's plenty of government intrusion in our lives.
Amen to that, sister.
We do not need any more. It's the parents' job to educate children. It's not the state's job. And I really don't like sending even my test scores to them. I would do it on my own just for my own personal benefit to know where my kids stand. But Actually, Virginia is not that unusual. I think Homeschool Defense says that we have more hoops to jump through to homeschool than many states. We've lived in Kentucky, where all you had to do is keep track of the number of days of attendance, mm-hmm. which what does that really tell you?
Right.
Tennessee, you had to be connected with a Christian school, an umbrella school. Texas, I think you just have to keep records of days attendance. Mm-hmm. And that's really seems to be across the country one of the more standard procedures, which...
Yeah. What does it mean that your child is at home that day?
Exactly. Yeah. Every day is a school day. Mm.
Well, now, speaking of accountability, apart from what maybe the state would require, is there some sort of accountability within the homeschooling network? In other words, do parents kind of help hold each other accountable through these classical conversations, or is there a state homeschooling association that you're a part of, or...
There are state associations, but they're made up of all varieties of homeschoolers, from unschoolers who are very loose in what they actually teach to the very prep school, very classical, where you know they're 3-4 grades ahead of everyone else. And we really just you have your own community and hold each other accountable if you want. Some people don't.
Well, this brings up another point that we haven't really discussed in any of the previous installments. I'm not quite sure how we've escaped it thus far, but I feel that we can't ignore it, Doc. It seems that there's an underlying tension among people, especially within the Christian community, about this whole issue of education. Which way is the best way? Is homeschooling better, private school, or should you be sending your kids to public school so they can be a missionary to their classmates? Do you get that sense, Doc, that there's a lot of tension around this issue?
I do, Rita. I think it's growing. I think it's growing. I'm in conversation with a young friend who I highly respect, and he's a young father, very committed Christian, and he is of the view that Christians should send their kids to public schools to be salt and light, and to season the culture, and you know, and he and I have conversations. We send each other articles because I'm thinking that when kids are in elementary school, they're not equipped, you know, to be salt and light yet. They're still learning how to become salt, and they simply can't stand up against the authority of a teacher. So, and as I've been in ministry now for 43 years, and I've had two congregations with many teachers and educators, elementary, postgraduate, graduates, lots of teachers, and I'm coming to the opinion that in the words of Dr. Albert Mohler, that it's perhaps time for the church to begin considering what he calls an exit strategy from public education. I hate to abandon the public schools. We, in this area in particular, we have wonderful Christian teachers and wonderful Christian principals, but they are limited. They are bound by what they can do. And not only is what they cannot teach, but the system forces them to teach secular humanism, in particular in regard to creation and evolution, and then the implications of that on human sexuality and family life. And so our kids are taught a totally different worldview that some say is a religion. Secular humanism is a religion. I think the Supreme Court has ruled that. And yet we cannot teach side by side a biblical worldview. And you see what's happening to our youth today, and they're ill-equipped to go to university. And so I come down on the side of let's focus more on homeschooling and private schooling for children and for, you know, to prepare them for high school and beyond.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on the issue, Melissa?
I think I've become less dogmatic in my have coming through this because I have a little more confidence now because I have a son who has graduated successfully. He's serving his country in the Air Force in California on the other side of the country. And I'm not as paranoid that I'm doing the wrong thing. And I think a lot of the angst and the defensiveness comes because as parents, we really don't know how our kids are going to turn out. And we have to hand it over to the Lord. And if we feel we have a calling for any particular kind of education, you're trusting that That's right.
Yeah.
And but you don't know how it's going to turn out, and you're like, homeschooling's the best, you know, because it's what I'm doing. Yeah. And sometimes that can create animosity in a congregation,
right,
because the Lord does call families to different types of education.
Yes.
I personally would never send a child to the public school system because of the dichotomy of the worldviews. What
yeah.
they're learning in church and home is completely different from what they're being taught at school.
Yeah.
Well, that you make a great point. I think that's a beautiful answer. One last question about your homeschooling experience before we move on to classical conversations. What are the challenges and rewards of homeschooling, both for you and for your kids? How would you describe those?
I think one of the greatest rewards, now that two of our sons, one's in college here locally and one's in the Air Force, that we don't have any regrets, that my husband and I spent every moment we could with our children while they were our children. And we knew that the Lord was possibly taking them somewhere else in the world. And he has for one of our sons. And we can look back and say, we gave it everything. And we got to enjoy them while they were ours, because you don't know how long you have your kids and you don't know what future they have for them. And the relationships that we have with our sons.
Melissa, you've said your children have, a couple have graduated. How long did you homeschool them through high school?
Yes,
okay.
Through high school.
So, well, that's mm-hmm. a lot of years, huh?
It was.
Well, now let's talk about classical conversations. I know I had two grandsons that were involved, and I had hoped to attend sometimes, but they always came back with glowing stories of being able to make presentations and speeches and so forth. So tell us, what is classical conversations?
Classical Conversations is an organization that was started back in the late 90s, early 2000s by a homeschool mom in North Carolina who wanted to educate her sons classically and wanted support around her. And it is now, there are 80,000 students across the United States and in other countries, particularly military bases. And it's a support network that has curriculum, that has the support for their parents. Their website has amazing resources on it that are free, and they had a paid section too. And we get together with like-minded families, and for the elementary years, they come and present family presentations. They learn to speak in front of each other. They memorize facts. They memorize their grammar. It's very heavy on the basics of reading and writing and memorizing history and relating it to their worldview. I have never been involved personally. My children were not in the foundations, which is the elementary ages. We started when my son, middle son, was a freshman in high school, because I was going through many health issues at the time and I needed some support, because I'd always been a very independent. We'd been in some support groups, but I'd always done my own thing academically. And I felt at that point that the Lord was saying, you need some backup. You need help.
Yeah.
We
didn't want to give it up, but I needed some other accountability for my son. And he just came back that year at the end of the year going, I love learning. It has been such a blessing. Where as a director, I am not the teacher. Their parents are their teacher. They're still homeschooled. But we move along the same curriculum, and they'll come to class. But this is for the middle school and high school years. They come to class once a week, so they work at home for 4 days, and they work or over the weekend if they need it to, and they come to class for one day, and we spend the entire day together. We are learning the same subjects. We do not switch classes, so we can connect what we are learning, what we're reading in Latin with reading Shakespeare's Caesar, and we connect it to the philosophy that we're learning, and we can look at the philosophy that has been, you know, the history of philosophy through the years, and we can say, okay, what good questions were they asking, but where did they mess up?
Yeah.
Wow. What did the Bible say for this? So everything comes back to the Word and to the Word of God and how He is over everything.
Mm.
And it provides some of the socialization, you know, not just me and mom, but with a class of students and a group of students, and relationships can develop. And
community.
Yes. There's some of their
community.
Best
yes.
friends, the mothers, we know each other, we help each other out. How do you do this? You know, give me some pointers. In Harrisonburg, we have about 146 students on our campus, and there's also a campus in Waynesboro and Stanton. And altogether, in the valley, this end of the valley, we have about 248 students.
Wow, that's great. Now, where does the local Harrisonburg Classical Conversations meet?
Covenant Presbyterian graciously allows us to meet there. I think they have three support groups meeting at Covenant, different varieties through the year. They're very open and supportive of homeschooling.
Speak to us about how this is a ministry to the families involved. You maybe started addressing that by talking about community, but how are our families strengthened through classical conversations?
Well, the high school years can be very daunting, particularly because you don't know if you can get them through this. Mm-hmm. And by having someone who can commit more time, I couldn't years ago when my other sons were in classical conversations, but now that I'm a director and I'm going through with my youngest son, I have the extra time to put in to being prepared to discuss things that maybe the parents don't have time
sure.
to follow all the Latin and keep up with it, or
yeah.
follow the math mm-hmm. or the chemistry. And I can be an assistance to them in helping them answer questions of how to teach things, or I can answer the kids' questions when they come and they're like, oh, I couldn't really get a good answer on this. And we can do our labs together, which is a big part of high school sciences. Most of our chemistry or biology time is taken up with labs during the week. And in the younger years of the foundations, just surviving, because it can be mind-numbing sometimes being home with a bunch of kids, and especially teaching phonics for more than a couple years. You'll just go brain dead.
Yeah. Well, and do you find that it's also really helpful and reassuring to parents who maybe feel that they have a weakness in a certain subject? Like, I
yes.
would not ever want to be the one to teach my kids math, for instance. So is that a reason that parents find it helpful?
Yes.
Okay.
Many parents bail out in eighth grade.
Wow.
And they send their kids off to public schools. Yeah. And they were the most fun years, when you're dealing with adults. You're not dealing with little kids
yeah.
anymore. Mm-hmm. And you can have rational conversations and talk about spiritual things and talk about the history and why was the country founded and where have we ended up. And some of our discussions the last couple of years have in our classroom end up being quite pessimistic when you look at the situation the country is in.
Yeah. Well, it's exciting to me to hear that all of that learning is happening. That's great.
If people want more information, they can go to classicalconversations.com. And the website, it also has local listings of the people to contact. And we do have openings for the high school and middle school throughout the valley.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Melissa, for a very informative and challenging conversation. And thank you, our faithful listeners, for your encouragement and support. And as they say, keep those cards and letters coming. And don't forget to include a check in those letters. Your generosity keeps Crossroads on the air on this station and as well as three others. Please send your contributions to Crossroads, P.O. Box 881, Harrisonburg, Virginia, 22803. Until next week, this is John Sloop and Rita Dunaway encouraging you to be salt and light and to make a difference for Christ at the crossroads where faith and culture meet.
This is the day that the Lord. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.